Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Jimmy Evans with Marriage Today. This podcast is dedicated to equipping families with the teaching and tools they need to succeed. We hope you enjoy this episode and subscribe for more marriage building content.
Sex and friendship are like two wings on the same bird, and your marriage cannot soar unless it has both. It takes both, and the deeper you grow in that intimacy, that friendship with each other, then also the deeper you're going to grow in the sexual aspect of your relationship. The sexual part of your relationship, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not just an act. God intended it to be this spiritual, this emotional, this physical connecting, this binding together as one. And we see this all the way back at the very, very beginning with God's original intent for marriage. In Genesis chapter 2, he paints this picture for us.
That's right. He talks about Adam and Eve being naked and unashamed. And it's just this beautiful picture of a husband and a wife having no secrets from each other, right? And they're physically naked, so there's the sexual component there, but there's also no secrets, and there's no shame involved, and there's this beautiful friendship between each other.
And that's still what God intends today. You know, that verse in Genesis chapter 2 that says, the man and his wife were naked and without shame, and that one verse, you see both sex and friendship. You know, the physical nakedness obviously representing the sexual intimacy in a marriage, but also nakedness in the Bible represents transparency. It represents trust and vulnerability. It represents not wearing any masks. And they were without shame, which shows the acceptance that they had for one another, the love and the trust and the adoration. That's the friendship part. From the very beginning, this was God's design. And we're convinced that the best marriages are between best friends.
That's right.
And if you want to have a better marriage, invest in your friendship with your spouse. And here's the part we don't talk about enough. If you want to have a better sex life, invest in your friendship with your spouse. And in just kind of a very basic way, we want to illustrate what that looks like with this furniture on the stage. Because the way that we see it, there are three main dynamics or postures that a marriage can be in. And the first is when both of you are sitting here together on what we call the love seat, all right? And the love seat isn't just the physical love seat. Love seat represents where love lives. It's where you're connected together. It's where you're unified, where you're serving each other's needs. And it's the place where God wants your marriage to live.
Exactly. Like right here, we are having total transparency and honesty and that vulnerability of having what we like to refer to as a naked marriage, where you are naked in every way emotionally, that you're bearing all to one another and trusting each other with that knowledge of whatever it is that you're telling each other. And you're making decisions in a unified fashion, that you're doing everything together. And so this is, you know, we want, as a marriage, God wants us to stay in this love seat. He wants us to have a love seat kind of marriage where we're doing everything together and making all of our decisions together and truly loving one another and serving one another.
Yeah, and then in the actual love seat, there are other things you can do too. You know, it doesn't have to just happen in a bed. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot that can happen on a love seat, including cuddling, all right? You know, I think I'm the cuddler in the family. And so whenever I get close to Ashley, like, I want to just throw my leg on her. I just want to wrap her up in this cocoon of love.
He does.
And just, like, hold her tight. And I have cuddle needs. You know, sometimes I'll say, like, look, I'll give you all the sex you want. Just hold me.
It's true.
I just need to be held. I know. I have needs. Just hold me and tell me it's going to be okay. In fact, out in the XO shop, there's a shirt that says Extreme Cuddler. And it was only for women, which I was deeply offended by.
Because he was offended.
Yes. That's my love language.
It's true. Okay, how many of you are non-cuddlers? Raise your hands high, because I'm a non-cuddler. And I know you're resistant. It's okay. We can admit this.
No, God rarely puts two cuddlers in the same marriage because they wouldn't do anything else. You'd get nothing done.
That's true.
And so.
But it's not that I don't. I love to cuddle with Dave in small doses. But when I go to bed.
You are such a liar.
Like, okay.
In front of all these people. In front of God. And all these simulcasts,
like Netflix,
you need to repent right now. Honesty is a big part of this. No, you do.
I will meet those cuddle needs, right? I will try to meet his cuddle needs. But when I go to bed at night, and maybe for a lot of you non-cuddlers, this is kind of the same situation. When I go to bed, I just want to have some space, and I don't want to be hot, okay? Like Dr. Oz. Okay, yes. Let's clap for that. Let's clap for some peaceful sleep, right?
All you clappers need to repent. Need to repent right now.
But you know, we want some peaceful sleep because honestly, peaceful sleep will do wonders for your marriage, right? But it's, you know, I get so hot, and Dr. Oz himself says that you should not be hot when you sleep, and he feels like he's a filthy liar.
Dr. Oz, you are a wretched, filthy man. It has ruined my marriage. No, I'm sure you're a very fine person.
Oh, goodness. No, but we are fans of the couch for many reasons, and the love seat.
The love seat. It's where you're together. But there's another dynamic, and that's where you both end up in these individual chairs, okay? Mm-hmm. These are the me seats. This is where a marriage gets when both people are doing their own thing. It's not about ours anymore. It's about his and hers. You know, my time, my career, my hobbies, my pursuits. And you kind of start drifting apart. Like if we were accurately illustrating it, when you're in the me seat, there'd be wheels on these seats and you'd be slowly drifting further away. And you might come back together in that love seat, but it's only for practical purposes for partnership. Well, we've got to come together to do things with the kids, or maybe we come together for the physical act of sex, but then we retreat back to our own seats. And sometimes you're in the same room, but you're in completely different worlds. You're on two different phones looking at two different things, and you're just wrapped up in two different worlds. And both of you can subtly blame the other person for the reason why you're not in the love seat anymore.
It's so true. And you know, I think this is a very easy place to live in a marriage. I think so many marriages are living in the his and her seats. And you know, they're kind of, like Dave said, they may go to the love seat for certain things. Maybe they like go and have sex and they're in the love seat for that. But then really in every other way, emotionally, they're completely disconnected. And we're just missing out on really the best part of marriage. We're missing out on that beautiful connection that God wants us to have with one another. But we live in a culture that says, you know, you really can't trust anybody. You really can't, not even your spouse. You need to kind of have an exit strategy because it's not going to work. And so we kind of harbor this in our hearts, and it makes us miles apart. And it makes us think, well, I can take care of all these things myself. You know, I might go to love seat for maybe a few things. Maybe we parent together, but in every other way, I'm going to stay in my seat. And there's no room. There's no room for your spouse in this seat, right? It's just you. And that's just no way to live.
It's not. And then there's one other dynamic in marriage, and this one can be the most difficult and the most heartbreaking of all. And it's where one spouse is in the love seat and one spouse is in his or her own chair. There's one spouse that's saying, I'm willing to do everything I can for my marriage. God, I'm praying for my spouse. I'm praying for my marriage. I'm trying to serve them. I'm trying to do everything right, and yet I feel like I'm in this marriage alone. I might physically be sitting next to that person right now, but it's as if they're miles away. And that can be the most heartbreaking scenario of all.
It is, because you know, you might be sitting here right now and you're wondering, well, where are we? Are we in the love seat? Are we in the his and her seats? Or is one of us in the love seat and one of us in the his and her seats? And as you think about this, if you feel like you are that spouse that's in the love seat and you're reading all the marriage books, you're the one who drug your spouse to this conference, okay? I just want to tell you, and there are some of you in this room, I know that that's maybe where you are, but there is hope for you. And we're going to kind of unpack this more in our talk today, but there is hope for you. And I'm so glad that you're here. And this is one step in the right direction. This is one step getting closer to that love seat together.
And so how do you get back to this place in a way that helps your sex life, obviously, but enhances the intimacy in every part of your life? Because intimacy isn't just physical. It isn't just sexual. It connects on all levels. And the Bible gives us a roadmap for this. And so there are a few things specifically we're called to do. The first one, if you want to have an absolute passionate, intimate connection with your spouse, if you want the naked marriage that we've been talking about, I think the very first thing you have to commit to is total and complete honesty. Honesty, transparency, that's a picture of nakedness. And you have to get naked emotionally. You have to get naked emotionally before you can really get fully naked physically the way God intended. Or else sex is just going to be an act. It's just going to be mechanical when God wants you to connect on such a deeper level. And so the depth of your honesty with each other will ultimately determine the depth of your intimacy with each other. Those two things are inextricably interconnected. You can't have secrets and intimacy at the same time in a marriage.
Exactly. And you know, sometimes there's things in your life that maybe happened to you before you entered the marriage that you haven't really shared with your spouse. And sometimes it's things that you did on purpose, and sometimes it's things that happened to you that you had, it was no fault of your own. And maybe you've hid those things from your spouse because you're embarrassed. And so we want to share some stats with you as to what that looks like.
Yeah, just to visualize what some of us have been through in a way that can have deep and lasting scars that affect the sexual aspect of our marriage, right, and affect us deeply in other ways as well. And so both in this room here at Gateway and in our simulcast locations, you can participate. If you are a woman who was born in the month of January or February? I want you to stand up real quick. A woman born in the month of January or February. All around this room. Okay, this is the most heartbreaking statistic that we'll share. There's been a lot of research done on this. This is approximately 1 in 6 women in this room. 1 in 6 women, if this room holds true to the national averages, 1 in 6 women have been the victim of sexual abuse at some point in their life. You ladies can sit down. 1 in 6 women with tears in their eyes could raise their hands and say, me too. You know, someone at some point in my life used this gift of sex that God intended to be such a beautiful and safe and special thing, and it was used as a weapon against me. It was used as a weapon against my will, and what that can do to just wreak havoc on a person's mind. I mean, it's not just women, by the way. There have been 18 million women in the United States victims of sexual abuse. There have been 3 million men who at some point in their life have been victims of sexual abuse. There would be men in this room who would stand up as well. And those scars can be deep and long-lasting, but what we found is so often people try to deal with those scars on their own and sometimes don't even talk to their spouse about that, the pain that they're still dealing with over that.
It's so true. I mean, if you feel like maybe there's a wall built up between you and your spouse, you know, usually there is some kind of underlying issue going on. And so if you're listening to us today and you're like, you know, I never shared that I was sexually abused with my spouse, I just encourage you to go home and really share that with your spouse. And if you're the spouse listening, hearing your spouse confess this to you, to say this is part of my past, listen intently and then help your spouse find the counseling and the help that they need to find that healing. Because those wounds, you know, they're wounds that don't heal on their own. I mean, you have to have counseling and help with this and have to realize that it was of no fault of your own. And that your spouse, you know, just because someone abused you in the past, your spouse isn't going to abuse you and you can trust them. But this is a process, and this is something that we can bring into the marriage that can really, really hurt our sex life.
And we need to be willing to get counseling, to do whatever we need to do. But anything in your marriage that you feel like, I'm going to deal with this on my own. This is part of my past. I'm going to deal with this on my own. The moment you start thinking like that, you know where you end up? You end up in the me chair. Even though you're doing it to protect your spouse. You're saying, I don't want to burden him. I don't want to burden her with that. But what happens is you're drifting apart. You're creating walls. You're sitting down in the me chair instead of meeting together in the love seat, that safe place of connection, and saying, let's work through this together. All right, share a few more of these stats. Okay, if you're a man born in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, stand up. And August.
And August. Get on up.
Yeah. All right. This is the most devastating, disappointing stat that we'll share. And I would like to say that in this room, the stats are completely different, and this isn't accurate in this room. I would like to say that. But according to Barna Research, Barna, the most trusted name in Christian statistics and polling, Barna Research, their most recent in-depth study of this, said that among men who claim to be Christian, 64% of men, almost two-thirds, represented by the number of men standing in this room, view pornography at least once a month.
Yep.
Almost 2 out of 3. Okay, you guys can sit down. Guys, we've got to do better. There is no greater enemy of true intimacy than pornography. And I'm not coming to you guys just as somebody judging you, because this, as we shared from this stage last year, this is a sin that I have struggled with in my life. I was one of the 95% of American children exposed to pornography before I turned 18. I was a teenager, saw porn. It made impressions in my mind and heart, just like wet cement that hardened over time and shaped the view, my view of sexuality, and created this sort of secret addiction that I thought I could handle on my own. I didn't follow the biblical roadmap for healing or repentance or any of that. I just said, I'm going to deal with this on my own. And then it bled over into our marriage. After we were married about a year, I fell back into it, and now I understood what Jesus taught about lusting after someone being an act of infidelity of the heart. And he's called us not only to physical monogamy, but mental monogamy. And anytime we're fantasizing about someone other than our spouse, we are opening the door for pure evil into our marriage. It's gonna sabotage not only our sex life, but it's gonna sabotage our mind, our heart, and every other part of our marriage. And we men who claim to be Christian, we've got to lead the way of just saying there is no place for this. And there's a growing number of women too that are getting into pornography. Some couples watch it together. They think it's no big deal. It's entertainment. We've got to call it what it is, which is a sin. We've got to call it a sin, and we've got to get it out of our lives. There's no place for it in our marriages. And if this is an issue for you, then you need to confess it. I think maybe one of the most awkward but important conversations you could have as a result of this weekend is to look your spouse in the eye and say, I've been looking at pornography.
Right.
And I want to repent of that. I want to confess to that. I want to get accountability in place. And I want to do whatever I can do to rebuild your trust and to get this out of our life. It's something that you're doing together. You need to repent together to God and say, we're going to get this out of our lives.
And so if your spouse comes to you after this conference and says, I've been looking at porn or whatever it is they confess, please, please resist the urge to go into those his and her seats. Please lean in and deal with this in the love seat together.
That's right. And get ready, because porn itself, one final thing on it, what it does is it puts you back in the me seat.
Yep.
It makes sex all about me.
It does, yeah.
My needs, my desires, my gratification, it totally removes your spouse from the equation. And it puts you over here where you're like, I'm just going to take care of my own needs. And any time that you're over that me seat, you're sabotaging your marriage. Okay, we're going to do just two more quick ones. We'll do these quicker. Okay, if you are a woman in this room.
Hi there, Jimmy Evans here. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk to you about something important, mental health. You know, life throws us all sorts of challenges, and sometimes we need a little extra support to navigate through them. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a platform dedicated to making therapy more accessible and affordable. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, depression, or just feeling overwhelmed by life's pressures, therapy can provide you with the tools you need to thrive. That's why I'm proud to partner with BetterHelp. Their team of licensed therapists is ready to listen and help you on your journey to mental wellness. And the best part, you can access BetterHelp from the comfort of your own home. No more waiting rooms or scheduling conflicts, just quality therapy tailored to your needs. So if you're ready to take the next step toward a happier, healthier you, I encourage you to visit betterhelp.com/marriage today. That's betterhelp.com/marriage today to get started today. Remember, Better H-E-L-P is just a click away. Thank you to BetterHelp for supporting our mission here at Marriage Today. Hey everyone, it's Jimmy Evans here. Today I'm thrilled to introduce you to something that's completely transformed how so many view their sleep, Cozy Earth Bedding. Cozy Earth graciously sent over some of their bedding sets and sheets, and I must say they're unbelievably soft. This isn't just any ordinary softness. This is next level comfort that eases you into a state of peace as soon as you lie down. Designed not only for optimal comfort, but also to help regulate your body temperature all night long. With a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty, their commitment is evident. And here's a special deal for you. Use the code MARRIAGE35 at checkout on CozyEarth.com to enjoy a 35% discount. Don't delay. Take your sleep and well-being to the next level. Visit CozyEarth.com and use the promo code MARRIAGE35 to save 35%. Experience the Cozy Earth difference tonight. Sleep better, live better, good night, and take care. Again, the code is MARRIAGE35 to save 35%.
Every woman, unless your birthday is on the first day of the month, if your birthday is on the first day of the month, like my lovely bride born March 1st,
coming up,
you stay seated if you're on the first day, but every other woman, which should be 97% of women, please stand up. 97%.
It's a lot.
97%. Look at all these ladies. Okay, guys, Glamour Magazine recently did a nationwide survey of hundreds of thousands of their readers, and they found that 97% of women reported at least some level of insecurity about their appearance or their body.
Yep.
Okay, you beautiful ladies can have a seat. You got no reason to be insecure. You're looking fine.
That's right.
You're looking real good.
Y'all are beautiful. That's right. He's got, that's good. No, you know, ladies, when we were going through these statistics, I looked at Dave and I was like, absolutely. I'm surprised it's not 100%, because I just feel like we live in a culture where, you know, we see everybody's highlight reels on social media and on TV. We see like the best, right? We see airbrushed things in magazines. And so then we look at ourselves and we think, oh my goodness, I'm less than, I'm not good enough. And it just really wreaks havoc on our sex life, because if you're not feeling beautiful, if you're not feeling pretty, it's really hard to get in the romantic mood. And so guys, you have such power here with your wife.
Yes.
In some ways that you can really help her out in this is just calling out her beauty, not only physically, but all the other things, her heart, what's beautiful inside and out, and tell her that you are fascinated by her, that you are so glad that you married her and that she's not your old lady or your ball and chain. Like, I hate those comments.
You're never having sex again.
You're not. You're like not doing it, okay?
Talking to her that way.
It is so bad, okay? And like things like, guys, if you struggle with seeing the pretty woman running past you in the neighborhood, that's gonna kill your wife's heart. That breaks her heart every time you do that. So watch where your eyes go. And guys, things like porn, like we just talked about, that breaks her heart. That makes her feel like she's not good enough. That makes her feel like she's not attractive enough. And so really, really build her up in that way.
Yeah, so true, guys. And one final one for you guys. Every man, just men, every man stand up. Every man. All right. Now, these are the guys that for all of these, there's a bunch we haven't talked about. Things that can really affect your sex life. Exhaustion, depression, anxiety, financial stress. Things that all of us deal with. But this represents the approximate percentage of men in this room who, despite all of that baggage and all of that exhaustion, are still really hoping to have sex tonight, right? So you guys can sit
down.
And
women too, So today we've been talking about friendship in marriage.
And it really is the key, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, the strongest marriages are between best friends. Mm-hmm. And I love that image of the love seat versus the me seat. And maybe you'd never heard it that way. You know, that when we first kind of thought about it that way, it changed the way we saw it. Am I sitting in that love seat representing that I have room for my spouse, where I can put their needs ahead of my own, where I'm sitting on a foundation of God's love and I'm resting in Him, even when I'm not necessarily feeling like my needs are being met in the marriage, that I'm not treating my spouse the way my spouse treats me, I'm treating my spouse the way God treats me. And when we have that mindset and we're in that love seat, it changes everything. It gives us peace even in the midst of the struggles. But when we get to those me seats, which is where all of us are prone to get, we get selfish and we become kind of victims and we're pointing the finger at each other. And man, nobody wins in that kind of game.
That's right. You know, we got to stay in the me seat in every way through everything. I think in the love seat. Yes, of course, in the love seat. Because I think we can say, you know, oh, well, we're going through most of our marriage in the love seat, but I want to handle this one thing in the me seat. And we really can't do that. We need to go through everything, every season, the good, the bad, and the ugly, in the love seat, because we're leaning on one another and having God as the foundation, like we described, that He is the very foundation of the love seat. And so we've got to stay there, but that takes great intentionality.
It really does, because I think that there's this natural mindset where sometimes we'll go to that me seat thinking we're protecting each other.
Right.
We're saying, you know, you might say, well, I'm going to deal with this on my own because I don't want my spouse to have to deal with this issue. This is my issue from work or my issue from my past, and I want to deal with this on my own. But whenever you block your spouse out of any part of your life, what's happening is you're building an invisible wall there. And whether you mean to or not, you're drifting away. You're allowing Satan to get a foothold to kind of put a barrier between the two of you when God wants to remove all barriers and break every chain that's separating you. And so that's why you've got to keep coming back to that love seat with total honesty, total transparency, with whatever the issue might be, say, let's face this together. And to say, and this is the hardest part because we're human beings and we can be selfish, but to say, I want to give you my best even when you're at your worst. And you've done this for me so many times. You've given me your best when I know I was unlovable and you loved me anyway. And it was in those moments that I think that my heart softened and our marriage grew the most because you were modeling for me what I knew that I needed to be doing as well as a spouse. And I think that the strongest marriages take both spouses being willing to do that for each other.
That's right. We really have to choose to be in the love seat together. And I believe that you can choose that too. And here at Marriage Today, we want to help you do that. You know, Marriage Today is a great place where you can really receive true marriage help that will help you to make these lasting changes. So please go to marriagetoday.com. You can view more videos on Facebook and YouTube. We hope that you do that so that you can have the marriage that is awesome and strong and staying in the love seat. We hope to see you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's podcast, and we want to let you know about another marriage podcast with Dave and Ashley Willis called Naked Marriage, where they talk about real and raw marriage topics like sex, communication, openness, and more in a fun, lighthearted atmosphere. Search for Naked Marriage with Dave and Ashley Willis in iTunes and start listening today.